All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn in your Bibles again to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 is where I would like you to turn again. That's where we were for the scripture reading this evening, and we want to turn there again. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And let's look at... Let's look at verse number 8, and we'll read down through verse number 12. We'll read down through verse 12. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 12, it says, "Therefore to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body," notice this now, "so also is Christ." So also is Christ. I want to speak to you this evening, preach to you a message that I've entitled, "Some things that we need to remember as we go forward." Some things that we need to remember as we go forward. And there are two main things that I believe that we ought to remember as we go forward as a church, hopefully very, very soon, into a situation where we can meet together again as normal. We want to keep these things in mind. They're things that we know in our mind, but they are things that we need to be reminded of as well, so that they would be more than just in our mind, that they would also be in our hearts, because they are important things. They're things that really make all the difference in the world. And remember that your actions really are based more on what you know is right and what you believe in your heart is right than you even probably realize. In other words, you're motivated to do the right things based on what you believe truly on the inside. In other words, we always do what we believe is the right thing to do. We might say otherwise, but it's true. We have this belief in our mind that we should act in a certain way, and therefore we do. And so these are important things that are foundational things about church and about going forward that really affect how we act. And there are some very key principles that we'll want to keep in mind as we go forward. And I want to encourage you with them, and I want to encourage you even to write these things down so that you can meditate on them and think about them as we go forward. Maybe even make them a part of your morning devotions or maybe your evening devotions, to remind yourself constantly that this is true and I must keep this in mind as I go forward. Because, like the scripture that we read, and I had said that we read 1 Corinthians 12 in our scripture reading, but it was Romans 12. But 1 Corinthians 12 mentions the fact that in verse number 12, the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. That is true of us. We are a body of believers. Just like your body has many members, but it's one body, our body of believers here, the body of Christ that God has given us, we are like that as well. We are many members, but one body. And that one body needs to function as one. Therefore, there are some things that we need to keep in mind as we go forward so that we can function as one. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for, again, giving me the opportunity to preach to these, your people. Lord, it is an honor and a privilege. It's something, Lord, that I count as just a blessing from you, Lord, that you would allow me to be a preacher of the gospel, that you would allow me to stand behind this pulpit and preach to these, your people, that you would gather them together and give us a building and allow us to have the funds that we have to be able to turn on the lights and to, again, do the things that we do. Thank you so much for that. We know it's a gift from you. Lord, I know that you could also take it away from us in a moment. You could take this privilege of being able to be the preacher here away from me in just a moment. And I thank you that, Lord, you've given me the privilege and the honor. Now, Lord, I pray, would you help me tonight to speak your word to your people? Lord, would you help me to remember that the authority is not based on me, my opinions, or or how well I can speak, Lord, the authority here is based on your word, what your word says. And Lord, would you help me to lean upon your authority and not my own? And Lord, tonight, I just, as best I know how, Lord, I reject any thought that I would be sufficient of myself for these things. That, Lord, I accept the truth that only as you work through me can I do these things, but through you I can do all things. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I pray that you would bind and rebuke the wicked one, that he would not be able to have any part in either my preaching or the hearing of any of us. Please give us ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that we as a body of believers need to remember as we go forward is this, that church is a privilege. We need to remember going forward that church is a privilege. It is something that is a great blessing. And when I say church, I mean a couple of different things. I mean both the being a part of a church, being a member of a church, but also more specifically, I mean the church attendance that we do. Let us always remember that it is a privilege. Now, I think that we're in a situation where we probably know that or feel that more than we ever have in the past, because we've been so limited by this. By the way, if this anything like this happens again, I think that probably we ought to do things just a little bit differently. We'd still want to obey all laws and all that kind of stuff, but we probably just want to go forward in a little different manner, and hopefully we'll never have to test that theory. But I don't ever want us to get out of the habit of having people in a congregational setting ever again. It just seems to me like it has not been good for us as a church or us as individuals. And I think the reason is because this is a great privilege that we have to meet together. And listen, we need to meet together. It's not enough for us to have live stream. It's a blessing, and I'm thankful for it, but it is not church. And we have to remember that. It is a privilege for us to be able to meet together. Now, here's a couple of reasons. Here's two reasons why it is a privilege. We could probably list a lot more, but these are the two that as I meditated and prayed on this today, these are the ones that I believe the Lord laid on my heart. And they're both obvious ones to you, but turn to Matthew chapter 18. There are things I've shared with you before, but I need to remind you of them again. There are things that ought to be on our hearts and on our minds constantly. And friends, even as we meet together, and I would bet, and I'm not saying you're any worse than anybody else, because I don't know that I thought of this when I came in today, but I would say, I would challenge us that probably very few of us thought of this as we gathered together today, or maybe even thought about the fact that we were going to gather together tonight. Probably very few of us thought of this, and that would include myself. Matthew 18, look at verse number 18. Now, you remember the context of Matthew 18 is how to deal with a brother who has offended you or has done wrong against you. Verse number 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, and by the way, that's talking about within the church setting. If you can remember that in verse number 17, it says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, right? So verse 18, now verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye, and ye is a plural word, isn't it? It's not singular, it's plural. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's talking about a church setting. And it says in that church setting that, listen, when you're dealing with a brother who's not treating another brother right, whatever you bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven within the context of the local church. And then he says, if two of you will agree on earth. That tells us how many it takes to be a church, by the way. Two or three. All that's needed. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on to repeat it that, listen, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. As we gather together, he's here. Now, I realize he's with you wherever you go. And I realize that, you know, if you have a family and you live with your family at home, that certainly the Lord is there. But he says specifically in Matthew that there's something about the local church, it's a little bit different. And I don't know exactly what that is, except to say this, that the family is not the same as the church. Family is very important, and the father and mother and children's structure is in the Word of God. It's important and all of that. Not negating any of that, but it's not the same as a local church. Within the local church, there's some authority that God gives. It's an institution, a body of believers that God instituted that when we meet together, Jesus Christ himself promised to be here. That's an amazing truth. And we need to remember, that makes it a privilege to be here. That's why, by the way, when you find in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, when there was sin in the church, Paul told the Corinthians that it was right for that person who would not repent of their open and obvious sin to kick them out of the church, remove them. We don't think of that often as that big of a deal, but that is a big deal. Because they're not able to then be a part of that group where they meet together and the Lord Jesus Christ meets with them. It is a privilege for us to be able to have that. And I think going forward, let us remember that it is a privilege to be together because Jesus meets with us. Now, I'm thankful for live stream. Again, I am very thankful for it. It has been a blessing. And by the way, God has used it while we've been in this situation. We've reached out to some people that we never would have been able to reach before. God used it, and I'm thankful for that. But it's not the same. It's not the same as when we meet together. Let me show you another reason why church is a privilege. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. We already looked at this verse, but let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I think that this is important for us to remember now as we read through some more of this chapter. We kind of stopped at verse number 12 for our text, for the message. But it speaks in verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" And we go on and on with that, okay? That every part of your body is important, every part of the church is important. Look at verse number 24. "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." I wanted to focus on verse number 27 where it tells us, again, ye is plural. One of the things I love about the King James Bible is it uses the word ye when it means a plural group of you. All right, for those of us in Wisconsin, it's yous guys. All right, that's Wisconsin for ye. It is a plural group. Rather than just saying you, because you could mean one person or many, ye means plural. So it says, ye are the body of Christ. What that tells us is this, as we meet together, friends, we are members of the body of Christ. That means that I am a member with you, and you are a member with me. And it is a privilege for us to meet together because when we meet together, we are forming, we're bringing together the body of Christ. How big of a deal is the body of Christ? Well, my Bible tells me that Jesus is all in all. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you realize that as we meet together, the body of Christ has joined together? Well, that's amazing. That's a privilege to be a part of when we come together in church. It is not something to be treated as, it's not that big of a deal. It's not something to be treated as light. It is something that as we go forward, we need to remember, this is a privilege that I get to be a part of, and not everybody does. But you do, and we ought to be thankful for that. Let me give you another thing that we need to remember. The first one is that church is a privilege. The second important thing for us to remember as we go forward is that church exists for ministry. Again, we're talking about gathering together as a body of believers. Why do we gather together as a body of believers? What is the purpose of gathering together? I bet that if we went into the average independent fundamental Bible-believing King James Bible-waving Baptist church and asked, what is the purpose of a church service? The average person would say something to the effect of worship God would probably be number one. Okay, the number two would probably be to get fed. Those would probably be the top two. After that, the answers would get fewer and farther. Yeah, there we go. Farther. That's not how you make that. In the other tense. Okay, so farther, fewer and farther between. They would get less and less and less. But if I asked you, okay, so if we meet together in church to worship, and I said, all right, show me in the Bible where it says that we gather together to worship the Lord, I challenge you that you could never show me in the Bible where we are commanded to meet together as a New Testament church to worship the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. We do it, and it's right to do it. But that's not the reason given. The next answer that most people would give is to be fed, like to get preached to, which, by the way, is a good thing. I think that's good that we do that. I think we ought to have the Word of God presented and brought forth in the service, and people ought to be convicted of sin and encouraged in the things of the Lord. But if I again challenge you and said, okay, show me in the Bible where it says that we meet together to get fed from God's Word. Again, I challenge you, you could not show me a place in Scripture where the New Testament church gathers together to be fed. Although that's a good thing, and we do it. The reason that the local New Testament church, the body of Christ, meets together is for ministry. Ministry. Please let that word be on the tip of your tongue every time you gather together with this body of believers. Ministry. 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 What did the Lord Jesus say? Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That means to serve. Jesus said that, you know, the Gentiles exercise lordship over the people who are under them. But he said, it's not to be that way among you. But he that is greatest among you, let him be your minister. In other words, let him be the one who serves you. So that's the way it ought to be with all of us. We ought to be coming, looking to serve. Ministry is what church is for. And as we go forward, please remember that the reason we gather together is ministry. That's why. We cannot forget that. And it's a temptation for us to get off on a sidetrack with all that's gone on and the fact that we've not been able to meet together. It's easy for us to get back to this feeling of, well, I want to get back because I need it. Now, don't get me wrong. You do need it. And I'm glad if you feel like you need it. That's good. I want you to be here. And I agree with you. You do need it. But don't let that be the reason that you come. Because the truth of the matter is, the day will come when you feel like you don't need it. Then the temptation is, if your motivation was to come because you needed it, then the temptation is, well, I don't need it anymore, therefore I'm not going to come. Or if it's not meeting the perceived needs that I had, then all of a sudden I'm not going to come anymore. We've all heard about people who have said about church, well, I enjoyed going to that church, but I don't go there anymore because I just wasn't getting fed anymore. Again, show me in Scripture where you go to church to get fed. You can't do it. Chapter and verse, please. There is none. But ministry is all over. Let me show you three areas of ministry that as a local church body gets together that we minister in. And these are important for us going forward. Number one is found in Mark chapter number 16. Mark 16, and you'll know this verse. Mark 16, verse number 15. Well, we should start with verse 14 because it gives us the context. Mark 16 and verse 14. This is after Jesus' crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, and after he spent many days with the disciples, teaching them and all of those different things. Verse 14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11, so that would be the leftover apostles after Judas, right? Even as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15, and he said unto them, again, plural, go ye, again, plural, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So one of the ministries for which we meet together as a church is to fulfill the Great Commission. As a local church, as the body of Christ, we ought to have that as our mission, to fulfill the Great Commission. So listen, when we gather together, that ought to be one of the reasons why we gather together. That's why, by the way, we believe that the idea of getting the gospel out to the lost should not just be something that everyone does on their own. Now, don't get me wrong. You need to do that on your own. We all should be witnesses for Jesus Christ. But the commission to get the gospel out to every creature was given to the local church. That means that we ought to gather together to take the gospel to the world around us. That's one of the reasons why we have soul-winning opportunities as a church. And I can tell you, by the way, nothing will draw you closer together to your brethren than serving with them in getting the gospel out to others. In whatever form that might take, whatever ministry you're a part of, where the gospel is being preached to those who don't know, it just bonds you together. Those will be your closest brethren in the church, always, every time. Because we bond together. And that is part of the reason why we gather together. It is ministry. We ought to gather together for the purpose of getting the gospel out to the world. Friends, even if that means that we gather together for just prayer times where we pray for the gospel to get out to the world. We've done that. Some of that during this whole COVID thing. We met together in the virtual world via Zoom. And we prayed together for the gospel to get spread across the world and for souls to be saved. And that's a good reason to meet together. It's not the same as being able to be in person, but it's better than nothing. So we ought to meet together for ministry. Listen, here's another reason why. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Reason why church is for ministry, or I should say a way that church is for ministry. Meeting together is for ministry. Ephesians chapter number 3. And let's start with verse 20, because I love verse 20. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, something that's been a great encouragement to me in my life. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it says there, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, may I remind you that the Word of God tells us there that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let that sink into your heart next time you pray, by the way. Remember, ask God for big things, because he's able to do more than you can even dream of. But the other thing that I want to point out to you about that verse, is specifically in verse number 21, is that God the Father gets glory when the church meets together and Jesus Christ is functioning here on this earth. That's why it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. There's something about when Jesus is doing his work, what happens? By the way, when you read the Gospels, you find it. He glorifies the Father. Every time he would do any of his work, he did it all because the Father told him to. And he would even prayed in the Gospels. He prayed, you know, glorify thy name. And I believe that was one of the times that a voice came from heaven and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Well, that was a function of Jesus Christ doing his ministry. Now, wait a minute. Jesus Christ has ascended in a physical form and is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Does Jesus Christ exist in this world? Yes. Where? The local church. Because remember, again, we are the body of Christ. So as we meet together, Jesus Christ is, in an essence, getting together and doing his work.
At least that's the way it's supposed to be. He's the head, we're the body. And so we get together to minister, to be Jesus in this community. Can you see now why church is important? Can you see why church is essential? It's not just because we provide a respite for those who, you know, maybe have mental health challenges, although we do, by the way. There are a lot of people that are suffering today because they're out of a body of believers where the Word of God is being preached. It does things for people who have mental problems and are in a mental health crisis. Something about the Word of God helps them. And there are people that are suffering today because churches haven't been able to meet like they should. But that's not the reason why we do what we do. It's not just that church is essential because we provide a benefit to the community by feeding the poor, although that's not a bad thing to do. But we're a benefit to the community because as we meet together, it's Jesus Christ in that community. And one of the things I think that drives Satan nuts is that we're not the only church in Madison, but let's just use ourselves as an example. As we meet together, Jesus Christ is here in Satan's backyard. And I think that drives Satan nuts. And I'm glad. I like to see Satan driven nuts. And I'm really glad because it's Jesus that does it. It's not me. It's not you. But Jesus does. And he'll win the victory over Satan every single time. And that's when we meet together. So church is for ministry. And we need to remember that going forward, that we need to meet. Why? Is it because of me and what I feel and what I get out of a service and whether or not it's convenient for me or whether or not I like it or this thing or that thing? No, that has nothing to do with it whatsoever. It is ministry. I am part of the body of Christ. Let me give you another reason. Hebrews chapter 10. This is part still of ministry, and this is really the biggest part, I believe, when we talk about, as we look at Hebrews chapter 10, as we talk about what biblical reason we have to meet together. I believe Hebrews 10 and verses 24 and 25 are the only place where it is explicitly laid out for us why we're to meet together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible tells us there, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So let's just look at this a little at a time. Verse 24, let us consider one another. The word consider means fill up your eyes with that thing. So when it says, let us consider one another, it means this. Take your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on one another. As we go forward, take your eyes off of yourself and look around. Not just at the lost world around you, that's important too. But this passage of Scripture is talking about your brothers and sisters in the church. Look around and fill up your eyes with them. Again, I'm not talking about the lost world. I'm saying your brothers and sisters in Christ here that meet together in this building, get your eyes off of yourself and look around. They have needs. Many of them you'll never know until you go and you talk with them and you invest in them and you get to know them and meet them and ask them what their needs are. But look around, consider one another. And what does it say for the purpose of? To provoke unto love and to good works. We're to fill up our eyes with somebody else, not to try to tear them down or to tell them how bad they are, but to try to provoke them to do right, to go forward, to go on for Christ. And that's part of the reason of church. We meet together to minister to one another. And during this whole COVID thing and the fact that we have not been able to meet together in a normal fashion now for 3 months, that's a long time. What I believe I am seeing happen before my own eyes is we are forgetting the reason why we're here. We forget the fact that, wait a minute, there are others that have a need. And it would be easy for us to get very much into a self mode of, well, it's about me and my needs and what I think and this thing and that thing. And friends, we need to consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. Never let it be said that the pastor is the only one who will look around and see who's missing today. Now, I realize it's a little hard when, you know, we only have an invitation-only service. You know, it's only if you're invited to come. But Lord willing, soon we'll be able to get back to where it's open and everybody and anybody can come. And never let it be said that the pastor's the only one to look around and say, where is, you know, Joe Schmo, whatever his name is? Where is she? Where is he? Call them. Hey, haven't seen you in a little while. You know why? It shouldn't just be the pastor, because it's not my job. You know what my job is? To pray and administer the word. You know what your job is? The same job I share with you, by the way, which is to consider one another and to provoke unto love and to good works. It is our job to care for one another. And then, of course, it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Obviously, we gather together to do that as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So these two things are important for us to remember going forward, that church is a privilege. Why? Because Jesus meets with us. Why? Because this is the body of Christ. And when we come together, that is an amazing thing. Also, we need to remember that church is for ministry. We meet together to fulfill the Great Commission. It was given to the church, and we meet together to fulfill that Great Commission. We also meet together to glorify the Savior, that as we come together, we are Jesus' body coming together, and He is glorified as He does the Father's work. And then also we meet together for ministry in this way, that we meet together to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Friends, that means even if the style in which we have to meet together is a little bit different than we would like, and we've seen a little bit of that in these last couple of months, haven't we? That means even if it's not comfortable, even if it's not the way that I would like it to be, but I don't meet together for comfort. I don't meet together because it's the way I like it. We're to meet together because it's ministry. And God's called me to minister to the people that are all around me in church. And not just me, because I'm the pastor. He's called all of us to minister to one another. And someday, very, very soon, I believe, we're going to stand before the Lord. And here's the truth of the matter. We'll give an account for what we did in ministering to one another, what we did with the body of Christ privilege that we had. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to remember these things as we go forward? Now, Lord, again, I do ask that you would please, by some great miracle that only you can do, would you take this pestilence that has come against the world at this time, Lord, and would you take it away and out of the picture? Lord, you can do that in a thousand different ways. Lord, you can do that with the word of your mouth. Lord, I pray that you would. I pray also, Lord, that you would allow us to be able to get back to a situation where we can meet without restrictions, and that you would do that very, very soon. Lord, would you help us to remember these things as we go forward? Would you keep in the forefront of our mind the fact that we are privileged people because we get to meet together as a part of the body of Christ? And would you help us also to remember that as we go forward, we meet together for ministry, not for any other reason, but to minister. Would you help us with that? Help me and help all of us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.